Well, where do we go from here? Do you all have your handout? I want to address the handout somewhat. This one, if you see the word that's added onto the front page, is workbook. We laid it out in such a way that you're able to keep notes on the document itself instead of having your own pad, etc. Primarily, it was developed for the website, for those people that listen to the audio, that they're able to use the document truly as a workbook. And we only got through the first page, and we will get to the second one. I would highly recommend that you fold it and keep it with you and bring it, even if the Lord decides that he doesn't want that covered in that service that you come, at least you'll have it. Truly, Sunday was a resurrection Sunday, and our course as a church is changing, or let's say it's being more laser focused than ever before. And that's because he's more laser focused for us to have revival and for us to become a doer of the word instead of the hearers only. If you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 14. You almost know it by heart. It's almost like Romans 8. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Every word that the Lord brings, he brings grace first, for you to be able to receive the truth. Every word in this document is grace and truth. He is unable to speak truth unless you are able to receive the grace to receive the truth. And he always brings grace with truth. Let me go. I see where he's headed now. Let's go. You can keep these verses. I'm not going to give you time to look them all up. John 16, verses 12 and 13. "I yet have many things to say to you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." In the Amplified it reads, "I still have many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them, or take them upon you, or to grasp them now." It's what he's saying to the church today. It's what he's saying to us. "The only thing that I'm able to bring to you is those things that you're able to grasp. And I'm giving you the grace to grasp them. There will be no excuse. that we were disobedient to the word. Because the first thing he will tell us is, I gave each one of you the grace to receive what I was speaking to you as an individual. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole, full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatsoever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. 1 Corinthians 3:2 says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Hebrews 5:11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to utter, seeing you are dull of hearing. And I feel that we have partially, according to our record in heaven, we've already asked the Lord, forgive us, so we've never failed the Lord, right? No condemnation, no past, no wallowing in what we once were. But we have somehow taken lightly, let's put it that way, be nice to us. We've taken lightly what the Lord has spoken to us as a family or as the body. Now, we're not special, and I could say we're not unique, but I can also say we have been obedient to the message, to what he has said, that he is able to bring grace necessary for us to be able to hear these and for him to be able to speak them. He said in one other place, and I will read this, you have asked, and you have asked repeatedly for my precise instructions. Every time you have asked, I have looked into your heart to see if your heart was prepared to obey me without question. Up till now, I have not found such trust. It's amazing that he loves us so much that he will never give us an instruction that he already knows we have not received the grace to walk in the fulfillment of that instructions. It would be like you being a father or a mother to one of your children and asking them to do something that you absolutely know that they would fail. And in this case, okay, he would be actually adding to your ability to sin against his will. So he withholds. He withholds. He has that much love. So he's looking at our hearts, every one of us. He's looking at our heart saying, just what he said here, I looked into your heart to see if you were prepared to obey me without question. Up till now, I've not found such trust. Then he says this, I look into your heart today, now that I find the level of trust in your heart, I will begin revealing unto you one instruction at a time, those simple things that must be done to disentangle you from the ropes of bondage that you have devised yourself. You should know that I will reveal these instructions to you at the level where I find trust in your heart to obey me. That's what you have in your hand. That's what you have in your hand. He would have never given one of these words that he didn't find within your heart, my heart, the ability to give you the instructions that are within these for you to be obedient. More than obedient, for you to have absolutely fellowship with him beyond any fellowship that we've ever had with him. Because he's giving the instructions to have fellowship with us. There is still distrust in your heart towards the Spirit of the living God. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised, he said. I'm not shocked. I'm not offended. How many times have the enemy told you, you know, you have failed the Lord and he's offended, or you shocked him, or he's disappointed? And he already knows ahead of time. He's not shocked. He's not offended. He's not disappointed. But I will work with you and bring you the mind of Christ in those areas where your trust is developed sufficiently to obey what I say. As you see the fruit of obeying each instruction, your trust in me will increase, and rope by rope by rope, you shall be free. That I just read, if you're keeping notes, and I know you are, it came from one of Gary's face-to-face communions with the Lord. It's titled, His Burden is Light. Gary Carpenter's website, it's under Face to Face. He gave this word, these instructions, in 1998. Is that right? 1998. And he's saying it again to us today, that's the principles that I'm still operating in. It's living word. It will never die. It's exactly the way I want to have fellowship with you. Let's go to, we'll go to John chapter 8. I'll read verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What I would like to do is for us to personalize that statement and say the following. Then Jesus said to the prayer center, then Jesus said to every born again child of the Lord, you believed on him. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you notice that he didn't say, ye shall hear the truth, and the truth will make you free? He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. To know a truth is to study it, to get knowledge from it, to get full understanding of it. It is really the good ground in the parable of the sower sows the seed. He understood it. He received it. He grabbed a hold of it. He took ownership of it. And he did it. John 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. John 8:36. It's interesting. I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm not even an English scholar. But in that verse, the word free that's used twice has two different meanings. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The first free, if you mark in your Bible or keeping notes, the first free is to be set at liberty. To be set at liberty from the dominion of sin. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is the only one that can set you free from the dominion of sin. Ye shall be free indeed. The second free is one who is not a slave, one who in the civil sense, you're free. But the first one is he's given you a promise, which we know, that he, the Lord Jesus, has the ability to set you free from any dominion of any sin whatsoever. Okay, let's go to our handout. The last time we shared and talked about this, you already know that if you're looking at this, you need to be looking at it like he spoke it direct to you and nobody else. It's yours personally. You have to take ownership of it. Now is the year. Now is the year. You could say now is the season. You could say now is the time. Now is the year. Right now. Okay. Immediately. Not past tense, present tense. This is the year. I have not been preparing you for nothing. It sure seems like it, doesn't it? Sometimes. Especially if you're listening to the portion of your soul that has not been restored yet. It seems like that part of our soul, maybe not you, just me, has a louder voice than ever before. And it takes more strength to tell it the word that I say we don't use in our home, to tell it to shut up, tell it to be still, tell it to be quiet. It seems like, look around at all the empty seats. I have not been preparing you for nothing, for no power. Now is the season of co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, setting your focus not on your shortcomings, but on your life in me. You notice he does not set his focus on your shortcomings. He's not telling you to do something that he's not already doing. Setting your focus not on your shortcomings, but on your life in me. I am not afraid of your shortcomings. I am much bigger than those things. I have been preparing a people whose heart has been continually following after me and continually pressing into the narrow way where I need them to be. He's saying that to us. He's saying that to you. If you're not making confessions out of these, if you're not meditating on these, this is the sword, or your sword, that you will defeat the enemy. Yes, you can look up scriptures to go along with this. We can get into that later, how to use the seven principles that the Lord's given us, the fasting, meditation of the word, praise and worship, etc. Need to take all seven principles and look at this and say, how do I apply those seven to this word, to the next word, to the next word? I mean, that's your life. That's your life in Him. That's what He's saying in regards to following after Him. I've been preparing a people whose heart has been continually following after me and continually pressing into the narrow way where I need them to be. A place of co-laboring with my spirit and acknowledging and believing the life in them that is of me, a people trained to co-labor. I took the time to look up where he first used the word co-laboring for us, sort of like you do a Bible search and you find out where was the first time he used the word love. And it sets a standard for the entire book, Old and New Testament. Other words. First time he used the word is the following. When you realize the kind of authority I have given you, you will know that it has no limitations. It belongs to those who say all things are possible to him that believeth. Heaven is always in operation, looking for those who have the authority to work in co-laboring with heaven to bring his power and salvation every place your authority can reach. Is not this the year of power? When it was first said, you may remember when it was first said, it was like, do you really want me to say that out loud? Do you really want me, if I'm going to say this out loud, are you making a commitment to me that it's going to come to pass? That this is the year of power? Now it's becoming very, very believable, very, very within our hearts that this truly is the year of power. There will be no power without co-laboring. You have no power. Do we agree? You have all the authority, though. The next was I'll just read this one. He really wants you to become a great receiver of the authority that he has available for you to win. He wants you to begin to expect it. Not ignore it, but expect it. You don't have to be concerned about making a mistake. This is precious. This you have to highlight. This you have to put in bold letters. You don't have to be concerned about making a mistake because the Holy Spirit only anoints your authority that is the will of the Father. Sometimes we feel as though we better not say that, we better not pray that, we better not do that because we may make a mistake. Or is it the Lord telling us to do this? Or is it my soul? Or, I don't have a verse for that. This sets you completely free. You don't have to be concerned about making a mistake because the Holy Spirit only anoints your authority that is the will of the Father. Because what you have is the authority and He is co-laboring with you and waiting to release his power to accomplish the Father's will. I shouldn't be talking to you. I should be in my office talking to myself, saying, Tim, do you realize that you tie the Holy Spirit's hands because you won't use the authority that you've been given? I mean, that's God. And I'm reluctant to use the authority that He's given me because I feel as though I will make a mistake. So I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, and I stick it back in its sheath, and I walk around defeated. Or I walk around and allow you to be defeated because He's put me on, or He's put you on my heart, and I'm to be using the Word, and I'm to take it out, knowing that it's sharper than any other two-edged sword, knowing that it's the only offensive weapon that He's ever given us, okay? But I decided, well, I better not because I'm not sure. And the Holy Spirit is standing there wondering. I don't know if the Holy Spirit can wonder because He already knows everything that took place, everything that's going to take place. So He's probably standing there grieving because He can grieve. He's probably standing there saying, when, you know, I've done all that I can. The Lord Jesus has done everything that He could to bring you this freedom and to give you this authority. He's brought the grace. He's already brought the truth. But you just chose, because your will is still in control, a portion of your life, you decided not to use it. And I see all the authority that you have, and I'm just waiting for you to open your mouth and just speak. Tim, it doesn't have to be loud. It really doesn't have to have any emotions attached to it. I don't deal with your emotions. I live outside your emotions. The only thing that I deal with is your born-again spirit. It's the only thing that I'm maturing. It's the only thing that I want to keep alive. Your emotions, I'm not the least bit concerned with. Yes, I can use them. Yes, I can anoint them. And yes, you will cry or shout or speak. But what I need is your voice. And I need your voice filled with my word. Because it's the only weapon that I can add my authority to or my power to. I'm just waiting. Maybe that's not you. Maybe that's just me, huh? I'm going to bring this authority. You already have it as a seed. You already received it as a seed when you received Christ. But I am wanting you to know the way I am thinking. The way I am thinking, my laser focus is now, is the season to give you the authority to defeat the enemy in everything that you are struggling with right at this moment. That is a word of grace, and that is a word of truth. There is no defeat, no defeat, if you will begin to use the authority that He has given you. Because He will add His power to it. There is to me, a subtle deception, a subtle attack. If you would turn to Colossians 3. This attack that is upon us, I don't believe it's something new. I think that we are learning how to expose it more and more for us to walk in more freedom. Colossians 3:17. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified for the sake of time. And whatsoever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, and in dependence upon His person, giving praise to God the Father through Him. Colossians 3:23-24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, that ye serve the Lord Jesus. If everything you do, the enemy has the ability to tie up your time and to try to steal your life. Think about it. Think about it. Good things. It's no longer what used to steal our time. It is the good things. It's the legitimate things. And he brings those into our lives to try to condemn us that we are not walking the walk and that we're not pressing towards the mark. He's always saying, you should have, you should have, you should have, you should have. And he is the one that caused your life to be busy to where you couldn't, because you have responsibilities as a father, a mother, a grandfather, etc., etc. But if you turn it on him and you do whatever that task is, whatsoever you do in word or deed, you do unto the Lord, the freedom that you're going to feel inside, the strength. I can remember one time I was picking up coffee because I was going to a meeting, and I was the one that was picking the coffee up just to take it to the meeting. I wasn't complaining. It was just, I was the one that was picking the coffee up, and I was running late. I picked the coffee up. You know how you are. I wasn't pouting necessarily, but I wasn't full of joy. You know, I wasn't excited. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, thank you for picking up coffee for my sons. Whatsoever you do in word or deed. Leah and I were making a dinner for someone a week ago or a couple weeks ago or whenever. And I was standing at the kitchen sink doing it. And the Lord said, do you realize I want to thank you for making this dinner for one of my kings and one of my generals? Now, in my mind, I was supposed to be praying, or I was supposed to be fasting, or I was supposed to be meditating the word, and I was there doing something. Not really active. It was just a thought that was those kinds of thoughts that runs in your mind that he slips it in, like, how did Dave teach us? He slips it in like a drop of water on the rock, you know. And if you don't stop the drops, you know, you begin to think more and more and more. And fortunately, if you enter into praise and worship, You know, I used to tell the enemy to leave. Now if I praise and worship the Lord, he automatically leaves and I don't have to be concerned with him. You know, I begin to just thanking the Lord. So be careful, really careful, with being concerned about the busyness. Now he's given us a word here, and I think I have it here. We'll get to it. Let's go back to your word. This year of power is the year to launch out into the deep. You are a people who have been prepared and equipped by me. Past tense. He didn't say, I'm preparing you. He's saying, I've already prepared you. You are a people. You are a people. You are a people. Because it's written to you personally. It's not written to your next door neighbor, though it is. But it's written to you personally. Your life is of the realm that is in me. It is not a life that can be visually or naturally examined. It is a life that is spiritual and seen by the unseen realm. It is a year of standing up tall in who you are in me. It is a year to only believe and to walk out your life in me, a life of power and co-laboring. It is not about you in the realm of that which is seen. It is a year of spiritual kingdom, the realm that is not physically seen, but spiritually walked in. We're already at the end of the first quarter. If you close your eyes and think, you have already been walking in this. If we were reviewing this word when it was given, you could say, okay, I'm going to begin to look for this. But now you have to look backwards and say, Lord, how many times have I had to believe, only believe, and I'm walking there? Because you're already walking there. The enemy comes immediately to kill and to steal the word. He would like you thinking about other things other than meditating on what you've already accomplished. He would like to tell you and show you all the things that you want to accomplish that you didn't accomplish. He's a deceiver. He continually. But if you get into this and you say, Lord, look at the things that I've only believed for. Not the next person next to me. Look at all the things that I've already believed that you've taken me through. It is a year of co-laboring with my spirit in His power. His power. That's why it's the year of power. And the life in me is the life I need. It is the heart within that has pressed past many things that I've been preparing to believe. Believing is the door to these things. Many times you have been given the opportunity to only believe. You will not look at the natural realm. You will look through the eyes of truth. What did he say in the first word? Look to the horizon. What does it say? Do you have it? Continue to scan the horizon with the eyes of your spirit, for you are rapidly approaching a new day where the light you walk in shall be so bright that what you have walked in up until now shall seem like darkness. You're walking in that light. You will perceive by the mind of Christ, and you will hear the voice of the one who is your helper in all things. It is the year to only believe. This is the door to the power you will be a part of this year and beyond. Fasten your hearts to obey, to only obey. Fasten your heart on these things and meditate on who you really are in me. You are alive in me. You are accepted and approved and one with me. You are alive in me. It is in me that you will co-labor with me by my Spirit and see many, many things that I have been preparing you to see. The narrow way, the way of my Spirit, bringing you deeper and deeper into me. Continue in this way and follow me into wondrous things. A church who looks not at the seen but the unseen, which is life in me, a place in the Father with me as joint heirs. You are prepared for these things. It is the year of my power. It is the year of co-laboring. It is the year to only believe. Romans, as Gary would say, if you open your Bible, it should open up and open up right to Romans. Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. 1 Corinthians 12:26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Let me ask you about the word suffer. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. Let me ask you, and with this I'm closing, I think. Did the Lord Jesus ever suffer any sickness? Did the Lord Jesus ever suffer any poverty? Did the Lord Jesus ever suffer any attacks from the enemy? Did he ever suffer outside of the scourging post? We know about that. I'm talking about his daily life, every day that he walked and lived. Did he ever suffer any sickness? Did he ever suffer any headaches? So evidently that word suffer is not what the enemy has tried to make us believe that suffer is. The definition. Because he never suffered sickness. Not only did he pay the price for us, but he never suffered it. That word suffer, it's once again another unique word. It is the word that he felt the pain of the troubles of the world. He suffered persecution. He suffered them yelling at him, telling him he was a fool, telling them they didn't believe. That's the type of suffering. But for you to think, or for me to think especially, that I'm reluctant to take my position as a joint heir and sit in heavenly places, etc., etc., because I don't want to suffer, or that I'm going to suffer sickness. It's not possible. Not only have we been delivered from it, and that he suffered for us, there's no suffering of that level. But you will suffer your family saying, you're all wrong. What are you spending all the time in prayer? Okay, let's go to the January 4th one. I won't tell you I'm going to go quick. The other day I was wanting to do something, and I may have said this before, but I know I've said it to Leah. The Lord said to me, please, don't go over the speed limit in your walk with me. Please don't go over the speed limit. That was nicer than the first time he had to say it, when he told me, he showed me a race that was going to begin, and everybody was at the starting line, and I took off before the gun went off. And he said, you were just disqualified. I know that never would happen to you guys, right? You know, you're full of patience and long-suffering and gentleness and not in any hurry. You know, just, you know. The enemy never tells you that you're late. And in my case, he wouldn't tell some of you you're too old, because, you're still young and you're too old, etc. So he actually had to give me it in vision, because if I'd have just heard it, I would have probably forgot it. So anyway, let's go to January 4th, the next one. Give credit to every little thing. I would say to you, says the Lord, that many of you have not even noticed the little things that I've asked you to do, that you did, that touched lives. That's co-laboring. That's living in his presence. He said that for us to take the time to sit down and say, Lord, will you show me, will you tell me the little things that you've asked me to do that I did that touched lives? He said it because we needed to know it, right? I mean, you know, I haven't had you. What did he say in the previous one? It's, I have not been preparing you for nothing. For no power. I would say to you, says the Lord, that many of you have not even noticed the little things that I've been preparing you for, that I've asked you to do, that you did, that touched lives, the co-laboring, the living in his presence, the little things, the things that you have done that he's asked you to do, that the enemy tells you, whatsoever you did in word or deed doesn't count, because you should have been doing something else, because he's wanting to steal the joy that you've had in the fellowship. She had a breakfast this morning for an out-of-town guest. The little things, that he's asked you to do, that you did, that touched lives. Many of you have not even noticed the little things that I've asked you to do. And because you did it, someone's life was saved and changed and touched and ministered to. The hugs that you give at the beginning of the service. If I was a betting man, that was the first hug that many of you got today. The first expression of love. I see someone shaking their head like, oh no, I already give a hug. I agree. But that hug, that expression of love, is what makes a family a family. A part of the events. Give credit to every little thing, says the Lord, because in those little things, I'm now able to touch someone else and rescue them and encourage them and show them my love through you. Last year, he said something along the same line, and with this I will close. He said the following: sometimes you feel the little things are little things. The little requests that he makes of us, we think they are little. The Lord would say that if you only knew the power in obeying those little things, the year of power, and we're wanting to see everyone on this box healed, and that will happen. That will happen as sure as I'm standing here. But at this moment, it's to him. Would you not agree that any of these on the box that we will see completely healed, would you not say they are little things to him? That's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. Give credit to every little thing, says the Lord, because in those little things, I'm now able to touch someone else and rescue them, encourage them, and show them my love through you. Sometimes you feel the little things are little things. The little requests that he makes of us, we think they're little. The Lord would say, if you only knew the power in obeying those little things, if you only knew the transformation that happens in obedience to the little things. They are not little to him, they are mighty. If you only knew the transformation that happens, obedience in the little things. The little things. If I were you, I would personalize that one for yourself. All of them I'd personalize, because it's like they're spoken only to you. I believe that's enough for tonight. Blessings.